5, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I want you to skip on down to verse number 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast, in other words, to ask him. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now this is primarily a Gentile area, all right? He crossed over the Sea of Galilee there, and so this is primarily a Gentile area that God had, Christ had went to. In verse number 19, there's a statement. It says, How great things the Lord hath done for thee. And he tells him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. This week, and often I try to listen to Unshackled. If you don't know what Unshackled is, you need to look it up. Unshackled is an old, been out for years. It's basically a radio reenactment of one's life that has been totally changed. And you can find it usually on WPCS. They play it almost two or three times a day, and it, usually at lunchtime. And this past particular week, I was at lunch in my truck. I can't remember where I was, Sonic or something. I don't know, just picking something up to eat. And I had the radio on, and I listened to the beginning of one of those Unshackled. And this man was giving his testimony. This man was, by the time he was 45 years old, if I remember correctly, he had been in jail 75 different times. 75 different times. All people had basically given up all hope for this man. God saved this man dramatically and changed him and changed his life. When we look at this story, that's exactly what happened to this man. This man was given up for absolutely there was no hope for him. None whatsoever. The Lord Jesus Christ comes through a storm across the sea. He calms that storm, and his men said, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? We preached a message on that. And then the Bible comes out, the Lord says he comes out of that ship, and immediately when he comes out of that ship, that man of Gadara was possessed with demons. The Bible says that the demons called themselves legion, for we are many. That's what they said to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man dwelt in tombs. He didn't dwell in a home. He had one, because the Bible says, Go home, tell thy friends. He had a home. But he couldn't dwell there. He'd lost his friendship. He'd lost his fellowship. He'd lost his relationship with people in normal life because he was demon-possessed and controlled by those demons. Those demons see the Lord Jesus afar off, the Bible says, and they came or forced that man to come, and they fall on their knees and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou Son of God, and they beg him to say, basically, don't put us in the place of torment before our time. And so they begged that they might go into these swine. There were 2,000 swine or pigs there on that particular place they were at. And so they begged to go in those swine. I don't understand about demonology, and I wouldn't suggest that you go try to study up on it. If I could say this, they're probably more than likely the fallen angels, those demonic spirits. I don't know that to be 100% sure. I believe it is because the Bible speaks of the devil and his angels, one-third of the stars. Speaks there in the book of Revelation, a picture of one-third of the angels fell. But they undoubtedly had no body. And so they want to possess a body. And so they wanted to be into these, at least go into these swine. And so they begged the Lord to do that. And the Lord allowed them to go into these swine. And those swine ran 2,000, the Bible tells us, in the other two accounts, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Two other accounts tell us that 2,000 pigs or swine went into the sea. What happened to the demons? I don't know. I imagine they went into the abyss. Can I say this to you just in note? Those demons tell us that Jesus is the Son of God. They told us that there's a place called hell, place of torment. And they knew they were going. That was their destiny. But they also told us that there was enough power, that Christ Jesus had the power to remove them and do whatever he wanted to with them. And I want to tell you something. That's a good testimony coming from the unspiritual or the demonic to tell us, when God's children so often forget those things, that there is a hell. There is a judgment to face. There's a reason God tells us this story about this man, a real man. And so this man, the next time, all those hogs, the man's business is destroyed. So they go back to this particular owner and tell what happened. So all the town begins to come out. When they come out, we picked up our reading, the 15th verse. This man is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, learning, hearing, and desiring to follow the Lord Jesus. That's the story. When you look at it, he says, I don't want you to go with me. He said, I want you to go back home to your friends, to your family. And I want to tell you, I want you to tell them what great things God has done for you. That's really the theme of all of the Bible. This is a theme for us as Christians to find out what is it that God did for this man. So I just want to talk about this man and at least tell you the great things that I see that the Lord did for his life. And the first thing I put down, this man had a great condition. Before he was saved, before he was converted, he had a miserable, but it was a great condition. In other words, it was a condition that no man could fix. No doctor could fix. No society could fix. No environment could fix. No education could fix. Only God could fix. And this man was in that particular situation. I want you to look at verse number 2. It says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And so you see there, look at verse number 8 and 9. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I told you I don't understand all about this, but I do know this. A Roman legion could have no fewer than 3,000 men and no more than 6,000 men. And the normal men would be 6,000 men would be in a Roman legion. This is under Roman rule. And so more than likely, when they said we're a legion, there were 6,000 unclean demonic spirits within this man that went into the 2,000 swine that actually destroyed themselves. They'd rather be destroyed than live demon-possessed. And so when you look at this, this man was absolutely, totally possessed. In Luke chapter number 8, if you want to turn there, I'm going to read and tell you how bad a situation. Luke chapter 8 is a parallel portion of Scripture. In verse number 29, this is what it says. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Listen to what it says. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now, if you don't catch that, you'll just read, for oftentimes they caught him. No, for oftentimes the demons caught him. They controlled him. So it seemed like at the beginning that possibly he was under his own control, and then at any moment the demonic or demons would control him. And so they would try to bind him together, and so they'd try to keep this man in fetters, try to put him almost like we'd put someone in jails or in shackles. And so that's what they tried to do. In verse number 1, the Bible says, the man came out of the tomb to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I put down this man was violent. He was a violent man. If you were to read the other parallel portions of Scripture in Luke chapter number 8 and Matthew, I believe it's in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that he was very fierce. There were actually two men. Two of them. But in Luke and Mark, they put the emphasis on the one man. So there were two men that were out of the tombs that met the Lord Jesus in the book of Matthew. But the Lord gave us the emphasis on the one in Mark and in Luke. And so this particular man, these men, when they would come by the graveyard, or at least by that way, they would come out, and the Bible says they were exceeding fierce. They were violent. They would hurt you. Could you imagine and say, well, I'm going over to so-and-so that way, in that direction. You know what most people say? Well, you better remember, you need to bypass the graveyard. You need to bypass that way. You go through some of these big cities and they have a bypass, like Birmingham has the bypass. I don't know how much of a bypass it is. It is, but it's still a lot of traffic. But most cities have a bypass. Well, that's how it was, because they were so fierce, they were so violent, that they would hurt you. And so they came immediately out to where Jesus was, not to hurt him, because they knew better. These demons knew who he was. But he was a man filled with violence, and so he dwelt among the tombs. No man could help him. Verse number 3, I've already said this, but who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him? No, not with chains. Nobody could help this man. You know, that's the thing, even with this woman with blood, the issue with blood, further on in the story. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. But the Bible says that no doctor, no physician could help her. Matter of fact, they made her worse. And actually made her poor, because she didn't have any more money left. A lot of times, people, the first thing we look when we have a physical problem, mental problem, emotional problem, we look for some sort of doctor to help us to fix it. Look, I'm not against doctors. Luke was a physician. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. But I will tell you, that shouldn't be our first objective. We should first go to the Lord and ask Him to give us wisdom. I heard a preacher, I believe it was John R. Rice, said that he was going to have a surgery, had it scheduled, just a normal average surgery that most people would have. And he said the Lord spoke to his heart. He said that he heard a story about actually a man having that same surgery that was just a normal surgery people would have. He said, and God spoke to his heart and said, you haven't prayed to me about it. He said, that man actually that had the surgery, he said, God put me in contact. He actually had troubled from that surgery and had really got very sick and almost died. He said, so I took it to the Lord in prayer and prayed about it. He said, God healed me. He said, I didn't have to have that surgery. You say, God can't do that. He can do that. God still heals. He might not use a healer, but He's the one that heals. And so this man, no man could help him. He was bound, like I said, they couldn't bind him with chains. I thought about when I was studying this, I thought about what they did. Why did they try to bind him? If he's dwelling out there in the tombs, in the graveyard, and in the mountains, the Bible said, he'd cry out and scream, and the devil would drive him into the wilderness, wherever that be. But if he's dwelling among the tombs, could you imagine why they would have to bind him? Suppose you had a loved one that passed away. Where are you going to put them? You're going to put them in the graveyard. So I imagine they had to do something. Wouldn't it be terrible? You had the loved one lost, and now you had to figure out, what are we going to do with the wild men? What are we going to do with the demoniac? And so I imagine they would probably catch him and try to put with fetters. The Bible said he had amazing strength. He would actually break those fetters and those chains asunder and actually would break them into pieces. He had tremendous strength. I don't know if you remember, but there was a man that was kind of had false religion, phony, didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He tried to cast out some demons in the book of Acts, I believe it was. And he said, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. He said, whom Paul preached. He said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but I don't know you. And he actually whipped 7 men and ripped the clothes off of them, sent them going wrong. They have amazing power when somebody's demon-possessed. And so this particular man was, like I said, violence, fear, nothing could do with him. He was a fierce man. You couldn't do anything with him. Verse number 5, he had no peace. Look, if you would. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The Bible says always. There was no peace for this man. None. Keep on looking. Like I said, this man had no peace. I put down, this man had lost absolutely everything. I've already told you, he lost his home, he lost his family, he lost his friends, he lost his fellowship, he lost his decency. The Bible says he ran around naked. He lost his self-control, and he lost his purpose for living. He was absolutely consumed and controlled by these demons. Now, I want to tell you, I've looked, if you look at these surrounding stories, I preached on the fourth chapter, the end of it, where he stilled the storm. And here his disciples are in the boat. The storm rages, so fierce of a storm that even these seamen said that we think we're going to die, to perish. He said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? He says, don't be afraid. He said, you have no faith, little faith, misdirected faith. And so he calms and rebukes the wind. And basically, the Bible says he put a muzzle on the wind that actually the winds and the waves ceased. And the men said, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? That was a mighty miracle. But there was a great trouble that sea. Then you come, fast forward, you'll see Jairus there. He was a leader, a religious man in the synagogues. But he heard Jesus was coming, but he knew that law couldn't fix it. He knew religion couldn't fix and couldn't help his daughter. He knew Jesus could, though. And so when he heard Jesus there, he came to Jesus and said, look, my daughter lay a dying. She's about to die. Would you come and heal her? And so the Lord Jesus started out that way. There was a detriment there. And here's this woman. The next story has a woman with the issue of blood. Now, for 12 years, it's amazing, the number 12 seems to be in the next two stories. The girl's 12 years old, and this woman's got 12. For 12 years, she's had this issue of blood. No physician could help her. No man could help her. Nothing could help her. And she has this, and she said, if I could just get to Jesus, just touch the hem of his garment, I should be whole. She had that faith. And so everybody were thronging the Lord Jesus. She touched the hem of the Lord Jesus' garment. He didn't know it, at least in a sense. He didn't know who it was as a man. She goes away, but immediately she's healed. Immediately. And so the Bible says, he said, who touched me? His disciples said, Lord, you're being thronged. What do you mean, who touched me? Well, faith's what touched him. And faith's what touched the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what'll get us. Well, nothing else will. Only faith. Only faith will save you. And only faith opens the doors for God's blessing. Period. Faith in Jesus Christ. Not in ourselves. It's who our faith is in. The object of our faith is Christ Jesus. If it's not, you'll never have any blessing. And so they had the situation with the issue of blood, the storm. And in the midst of this, this man, Jairus, his daughter dies. So people come and they say, Master, trouble not, or this man, Jairus, don't trouble the master. Your daughter's dead. He said, be not afraid, only believe. And so he went there, and of course he told them that she's asleep. They laughed in the scorn. He just took the mother and the father, took Peter, James, and John, nobody else. Went up there, went into the damsel, and said, arise, and she was alive. When I look at that, God raised her from the dead. They're in impossible situations. I mean, over the storm, over physical health, over death, physical death. But I know of no greater problem than this man of demoniac in all of Scripture. I don't know of any other greater problem than someone that's absolutely controlled by Satan or the kingdom of this world. But can I tell you this? This man pictures a lost man. You say, Brother Sewell, I'm not demon-possessed. But this man is a picture of a lost man without Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can show you in Scriptures. I want you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 2 with me. Ephesians chapter number 2. You say, Brother Sewell, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to show you exactly what Christ was saying, the old story. Let me tell you the old story, that people are bound in their sin. People are on their way to hell. People are dead already. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so that's what we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are lost. We may not see ourselves that. Ephesians chapter number 2, I want you to look at verse number 1. Now he's talking, Paul is speaking to a bunch of believers here, and he's trying to tell them what they have in Christ Jesus. And he says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1, he says, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know where that man dwelled? He dwelled in the graveyard. He dwelled in the tomb. You know why? Because he pictures exactly what a lost man is. He's already lost and dead in trespasses and sins. That's where a person is without the Lord Jesus Christ. Your loved ones are that way. If you don't know Jesus, you're that way. And by the way, you say, well, Brother Sewell, I'm not demon-possessed. If you don't know Christ, you have an opportunity and have an open opportunity for a demon to possess you. Because there's nothing to restrain it except God's mercy. Because you don't have Christ within you. The Bible says Holy Spirit comes to dwell within a believer, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But if you're lost, you don't have the Holy Spirit within you. A saved man cannot be possessed by a demon. May be oppressed, but he can't be possessed. But a lost person can. That's why it's so important that you get to Jesus. You say, well, I can fall in love. The Bible says some by love and some by fear. And there is a hell to shun. There's a Savior to receive. And you ought to come to the Lord Jesus Christ just simply because you don't want to die and go to eternal hell forever without the Lord Jesus Christ. But God does love you. And God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have eternal life. And the Bible shares these believers and said, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You say, I don't like to hear that. I'm just sharing with you what the Bible says. Look, if you would, in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter number 2. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. So let's just read it this way, all right? I'm a cut out being aliens with the commonwealth of Israel. I'm going to read it this way. That at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in this world. Do you know where a person is that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? They're absolutely without any hope. The Bible says for a believer that when they die, He says, we sorrow, but not as those having no hope. I want to tell you something. A believer has hope because he's with the Lord. Be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. A believer has hope. I know I have loved ones in heaven. I'm going to see them again. I preached my daddy's funeral. I preached my brother's memorial service. We never found his body. But I have hope because I know I'm going to see him again. I have another brother that I saw as a little baby suffer, but I'm going to see him in heaven. I have a grandmother there that knows the Lord. Two of them that I'm going to see there. But I could preach my grandmother's funeral, Michelle's grandmother's funeral, my family's ministry. Why? With hope. There was sorrow because I knew they knew the Lord. But a person that's lost has absolutely no hope. This man dwelt among the tombs. He was dead while he lived. And he had absolutely no hope. No man could help him. Only Christ could help him. You see how he's the picture there of a person? Let me show you in 1 Corinthians. I don't have this marked. Look, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm going to show you what every one of us were before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9, it begins to describe what these people were. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now Paul's asking the question. He said, don't you know people that are lost are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that means homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty good list. Listen to what he says. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He didn't say you were named, you were saved, you were justified, you were washed by the church. By baptism, by turning over a new leaf, by on a church roll. He said you're saved by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And he said just like we look at those other people and judge them, say, well, that person's an idolater, that person's effeminate. He said such were some of you. But you've been saved. You've been washed. You know, a person has to realize they're lost before they can be saved. And that's the hardest part. Really, a person has to realize they're a sinner. Not sinned against people, but sinned against God. And so, man, the Lord is showing this man's condition is a picture of the lost. It was a great condition. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're in that same condition. You may not be demon-possessed, But actually, if you read in the book of Colossians, I think, or book of 1 Corinthians and Colossians, he says you're controlled by the prince and the power of this air. You're controlled by this world and by the devil. You may not be demon-possessed, but you're controlled by it. Because you're God, you're the devil's child, not God's child. You say, Brother Sewell, that's pretty rough. Look, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I want to tell you the truth. I'd rather have a preacher that would tell you the truth than one that would sit there and make you feel good and you die and go to hell. And I'm not trying to be ugly or crude or unruly. That's not my heart. But I'm going to preach the truth. And I want you to see the truth that this man, God healed him, and he gives a picture because there was no greater miracle without all the miracles than this one man. And God says, you go tell what great things have been done for you. The girl that was raised from the dead, you said, that's a great miracle. But she was probably in heaven. He said, don't go tell a soul. But when he healed this man, he said, you go tell your home and your family. You go tell them. It's something that we need to tell. And so if God saved you, he saved you out of great condition. Let me give you this. Not only that, his great condition, but his great conversion. God truly changed this man. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not he will be, not he was, not in the future, not in heaven. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. He has a new nature. Christ come and to dwell in us by His Spirit. That's why we're new. But the outside, this old body is still flesh. We're becoming new. God's working on us. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. That's what that verse said. But immediately you have within your heart and your life a difference because Christ dwells in you. And so the Lord teaches without a doubt. I will show you three things at least in this man's life that God changed in his conversion. First off, I already told you that he was changed. The Lord changed him. Back in verse number 15, it says, and they come in Mark chapter number 5, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had 6,000 demons within him, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They didn't understand it. I've heard a lot of preachers say by studying this, they'd rather be with hogs than with Jesus. I don't know if that's the case. A lot of people would exchange something for Jesus. I think they just didn't know who it was. They're Gentiles, primarily. And so they were afraid, and they asked him to leave. But you see where this man was. He was absolutely in his right mind. And by the way, he was clothed. When somebody gets right with God, they begin to put clothes on. Our world's taking clothes off. And Lord, when he gets right with the Lord, he starts putting clothes on. I'm not saying not saved, but you know, there was a man in the Bible that was blind, and he got healed. He had been blind from his birth, and he was healed. The Lord Jesus Christ healed him, but the problem was he healed him on the Sabbath day. Oh, that was a no-no for the religious crowd. And so they began to question, how did you get healed? He said, well, all I know is this man named Jesus. And so they began to kind of crucify him and talk to him about, well, really God healed you, not this man. He said, all I know is Jesus healed me. What do you say about this man? Finally, he just said, he wasn't a theologian. He didn't know all about the Lord Jesus. But he did make a statement. He said, once I was blind, but now I can see. You know what he was saying? I've been changed. And that's exactly this man. He might not could tell you all about the Lord Jesus and all the theology about regeneration, justification, but he could tell you this. I've been changed. And he was changed. The Lord changed his life. And any man that knows the Lord Jesus Christ has been changed. And that's the reason why we need to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. There ought to be a change. Just because there's a profession doesn't mean there's a change. Many, many people believe they're saved because they prayed a prayer, but they have absolutely no evidence of salvation. And by the way, works don't save you. But you ought to have some evidence, fruit in your life that God's been different, changed your life. Prayers ought to be answered. You ought to love God's children. You ought to love what God loves. You ought to love His Word. You ought to want to grow. Those are things that are there that once were not there because God changed. And so the Lord's still working. The man was changed. Can I say this? He had a new desire in life. The Bible says he was sitting and clothed there at the Lord at his feet. He was listening to the Lord. He desired to be where the Lord was. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3. I'm going to show you something about this desire. In Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, Paul speaking here again to these, and he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." He says, if you've been be risen with Christ. If you're a believer, he said, then you ought to seek those things. You know what a believer does? He may not be changed. There are some people that are like this demoniac. Immediately God changes everything. I've heard of drunkards like that. A.T. Robertson, when I was listening to him, reading after him, he said there are untold thousands that God has converted just like this demoniac in missions and all across this world. There are. But a person saved, he may not be changed, because when I was saved, you know, I was saved as a young man. Was I an alcoholic? No. Was I bound by some sort of drugs? No. But I was just as much bound by sin as anything else. But God set me free. But what did I have to be worried about? And the Bible said, he that's been forgiven much, loves much. He that's been forgiven least, loves least. I think that's a lot of times what's wrong with the church. We don't realize how much God has forgiven us. And so the Lord says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. A believer is going to seek those things. Look at verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And he keeps on. He's saying mortify. In other words, put them to death. How can he do that? Because a new believer has power. Not his power, Christ's power. So he says we need to put those things, because this old body is still dead. That's why I'm going to need a new body. That's why this one's dying and going to be in the grave. Look at what, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, or the called of God, holy in blood, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So God, when he saved me, he said, you're risen with Christ. Was Christ dead in that grave? His body was. Who rose him from the grave? The Holy Spirit of the living God. A dead body came to life. He's got new life. He also has new power. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Then he says, put on. And so he's saying we need to learn to put these things on. A Christian that is saved, he's changed. He has a new life. He has a new desire. By the way, lastly, he's a man filled with peace. He has peace. This man, remember, he used to run all over, always, night and day, crying. He has no peace. None whatsoever. Let me give you some verses on peace. John 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who gives us the peace? The Lord Jesus. Colossians 3, verse 15, if you're still there, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know what he's saying? He said, you can have God's peace ruling in your heart. When this man was sitting at Jesus' feet, he was changed, he had new desire, and he had peace in his heart. There's a great change. You may not see all of those things, but they're there. That's what the Lord does for a believer, and so much more that we preach for eternity on these things. Can I give you this, lastly? His great condition, his great change, but his great commission. Great commission. Look, if you would, back in Mark chapter number 5. I want you to see what he says to him, and we'll be done. He said in verse number 18, and when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, would not let him go, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. I want you to look at verse number 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. There was 10 cities there in Decapolis, Greek cities. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. If you read forward, you'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ sailed back to Palestine. And then a little later on, he came back to the Gadara, the area of Gennesaret there, Decapolis. And many throngs of people met him there for him to heal them. They asked him to leave. They begged him to leave. But when he came back, because of this man's witness and testimony, they met him by the multitudes and received him. You know why he did? He just took the Great Commission and went back to his own home and to his own friends and to his own city and told the great things the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him. You know what's wrong with America? Why churches aren't filled? The Great Commission is not being obeyed by God's children. They're not telling the world the great things God has done for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin to sing here just a minute. 301, Only Trust Him. Only Trust Him. But you may be here while you're there in your pew, while your head's bowed and while your eyes closed. I want you to just think in your heart.